And greetings, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I am your host, Amy Toy, and I hope everyone is well on this February afternoon. I have a wonderful and an informative show for you today. And the topic of this afternoon's show is on cheating, what cheating is, the signs of a cheating partner, how can you intuitively know, how can an intuitive like myself help you if you suspect cheating, confronting the alleged cheater, and if your relationship is repairable or not, or to forgive the person because that's your choice. And we also have the illustrious Chris calling us about quarter after, and he's going to give his insights on cheating. And he's been both the aggrieved party and, you know, and we'll see how that goes. And then the last half of the show, I'm sorry we couldn't have calls last week. We had some technical stuff going on. But the last half, I will be taking your calls, and the angelic realm is here to help you. The phone numbers to call in are 1-888-627-6008. And that's a toll-free number for the residents inside the continental U.S. and Canada. And for those outside the continental U.S. and Canada, the phone number is area code 530-413-4522. And that's going to be the last half of the show. We'll take a break, and then you guys can call in with your comments, questions, and anything you want to talk about. And maybe the angels can help you in an area of life that maybe not pertains to cheating, but anything else. And I'll be glad to take your questions and calls and comments. So, this is a show that is very, very, this is a touchy subject. Cheating is a very touchy subject for a lot of us. You know, we've either been subject to the cheater, or we've been cheated on, or we've been the cheater. So, cheaters, sometimes, it's just been in my experience, someone will call me up on the line, and they'll ask me, do you think my boyfriend's cheating on me, or my husband's cheating on me, or my girlfriend? And if you're intuitively asking that, you need to kind of listen to your own intuition. I'm going to either confirm or deny that. You know, there's cases out there where somebody's insecure and, you know, they think their person is cheating on them when they're sitting around the house all the time. And, you know, there's no signs of that. But cheating does take its toll. And that's the definition of a cheating partner. Someone, if you have like a monogamous relationship or an exclusive one-on-one relationship with someone, and this person goes outside of the relationship for either sexual or emotional support. Now, there's what they call the emotional affair, which we'll talk about in a few minutes before Chris calls in. But what are some of the signs that your partner is cheating on you? I mean, there's a bunch of signs, but the favorite one that a friend of mine told me recently was that, you know, if they're saying they're working late, that is a big clue. You know, if you feel that your guy is cheating on you and they're saying, I got to work late. But there's many signs to look for. And if you're suspicious to begin with, like I said, you need to kind of look into that because usually your intuition is correct about that. And I'm going to ask you straight out, if you're calling me for that kind of guidance, I'm going to ask you, you know, why are you suspecting that? Usually when a partner or someone cheats on you, there's, like I said, certain signs. And sometimes, you know, your spouse appears to be a little distant, you know. There's a distance, lack of interest in the relationship. Sometimes they come home smelling like another woman's cologne or maybe their soap. You know, these guys think they shower after and they use the woman's soap that, you know, hey, that's a tip-off right there. Goes to the gym. Is starting to, you know, maybe they're trying to lose weight and all of a sudden they're trying to act like they're, instead of 50, they're trying to act 30. You know, they're going to the gym, they're working out, they're trying to improve themselves. You know, takes too many errands out. You know, they'll go, oh, I got to go out to the grocery store or I've got to go to the bank. And you're like, it's 10 o'clock at night. Okay, you know. Unusual behavior. And sometimes these guys are we're going to say guys because, we'll talk about the cheating woman in a moment because the reason why they cheat is different than why a man cheats. They're going to ask you about where your whereabouts are because they're feeling guilty about their relationship. If they're accusing you of cheating, and sometimes it's because they're cheating and feeling guilty. So you're going to hear that. Sometimes they'll stop wearing, if you're married, a wedding band or something like that. And then you're like, okay, where's your ring? Oh, it's at the jeweler's being resized. Or, I don't know, it's at the office. And you're like, okay, you've been wearing it for 5 years. Why is it gone? So you have that. And, you know, sometimes they're either too much, they're maybe not interested in, your sexual life becomes different. Either they're learning new positions or learning new techniques, and you're like, okay, we've been married 10 years, how come we're doing it on the chandelier here? Or they're not interested in sex at all. And so there can be different things. Sometimes they're just kind of, you know, they just get strange. They give you excuses, and you're like, where the heck is that coming from? Where are you coming from? Like I said, another one is works longer hours. And so, and when you're like, oh, you're working all that overtime. Let me see your pay stub. And it's not showing up. There was the overtime. They're reluctant to show you anything. Changes their routine. I mean, maybe they've been taking the same. Maybe they've been going to work at 5 to 8 for all these years. And now they're going at 7:05. I mean, that's a tip off right there. Sometimes when you call them, they're not available. You know, they maybe you're leaving a message at work. They're not there. Maybe they're just excluding you from their lives. And, you know, you're like, okay, I'm your wife here. What the hell? You know, maybe you're, oh, this is a good one. I love this one. Receives mysterious phone calls. So you're there standing right in front of the guy. You're your husband. And all of a sudden, you're getting these phone calls. And he's like, mm-hmm. He goes into the other room. He's like, real vague. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or when you answer, oh, is Steve there? You know, mm-mm. Wrong number. There might be, you know, these same phone calls to the same number, you know. Like I said, or whispers on the phone. That's another one. You know, hides the phone bills from you. Deletes the caller ID. You know, all these things are going to give you a paper trail to where it is. If this guy is doing what I call the emotional affair. Now, this is something that is becoming very prominent, very new. It is where the person that you're involved with is not only has not had sexual relations with the person, but is having emotional intimacy, something that they should be sharing with you. And this usually, from my experience as a psychic, has been from people, you know, they'll confide in a coworker, and all of a sudden you have this weird dichotomy here. And, you know, you're like, what the heck is going on? Why are they not, you know, so they talk about maybe, they're talking about Jan at work. Let's say your husband's talking about Jan at work. And they say, oh, yeah, Jan this, Jan that, da-da-da-da. And you're like, oh, you talk about Jan a lot, you know. And then you notice that, you know, this your husband, like I said, this is we're using a man. I'm not trying to be prejudicial there, but, you know, men, we're just going to use this as for the example, you know, sake of argument. Sometimes what will happen is they will start confiding and withholding information. Maybe they're going through some crises right now. Maybe they're feeling inadequate as a person. Maybe they're just intimacies they should be confiding in you and talking to you about. They're withholding that, and you just feel the emotional aloofness and distance. This is a very, very hard thing to prove, but the emotional affair is something that is very, it's just very hard to kind of, you know, help with diagnose, because you know something's off. You can't say that the guy's going around the Motel 6 down the street and banging his secretary. You can't say that. This guy is confiding with Jan or Mark or whoever it is. You know, a lot of women do this too. They're not finding the intimacy at home, so they will go outside the relationship. And usually men cheat differently than why women cheat, and I've noticed this as well. Women cheat because they're not getting the emotional intimacy too. And sometimes they're out to have a good time. Maybe they want to hang by the chandelier. Maybe they want to have sex on the desk or whatever they want to do. But usually it's because of the emotional intimacy. Remember, women are full of emotion. Men are not. They can compartmentalize or separate themselves from why they cheat. Men want a little side dish. Mostly it's the typical, they want to have something on the side. They're not, it's nothing to, you know, the innocent spouse, the one that's been cheated on, they'll call me up and say, after their relationship, they really take it personally. And women, we do. We take it personally. We think it's something wrong with us. We're too fat. Maybe we've got buck teeth. Maybe we got four eyes. I don't know what the problem is, but they take it personally, and they really rip themselves apart. And it has nothing to do with you, ladies. If you've ever been cheated on, it's his problem, not yours. But what you can do is look at why he cheated in the first place, and that's the next thing. So anyway, okay, let's say you suspect they've been cheating. Maybe you've caught them. And maybe, and I would even suggest if you need to, hire a private investigator. There's even software on the computer you can place to see what websites he's gone on. Or spyware, I can't remember the name offhand, but if you suspect he's cheating, you have to have evidence. It's like a police investigation. You need evidence. So you catch him cheating, and what you do from there is this. You confront him, and of course, you've got to have substantial proof. So if you got photos from VI, that's pretty good there. You got his GPS, you know, he's been to Jennifer's house. You know, 5 times that week for, you know, for being there. You know, you've got substantial proof. So what you do is you take that to the cheater, and you know, you have to take it from there. It's up to you. You confront them. They either admit, deny. Of course, they can't deny if you've got evidence that's really piling up. Then it's up to you what you want to do here. A lot of times, when there's a cheater, this relationship can be repaired. It definitely can be repaired because sometimes what led to the cheating, maybe the guy was lacking himself, maybe emotional intimacy, maybe he just needed to feel good. He's going through a midlife crisis or whatever, but it's up to you to decide as the innocent aggrieved party what you want to do. And from what I've heard from clients, it's very difficult to recover from this. The trust is gone. That's one of your foundations of a relationship is trust. And it's gone. You can't trust that person because you don't know if they're going to run to the grocery store at 7 o'clock that night, if they're going to go bang Jane, you know? You don't know that. You don't know. You're going to be paranoid. You're going to be suspicious. You're going to be on high alert. You're going to be hyperactive. And you're going to be looking for what you need to do. But you're going to go through a gamut of emotions. You're going to be angry, hurt, betrayed. You're going to go through all those emotions. And I've had clients call me even after months, maybe. Their relationship, maybe they decided to stay together, and that's your choice. Either to stay or go, this is your choice. Because when it first happens, of course, you're in shock, and you go through that process of grieving. You go through that process of, you know, oh my God, this has happened to me. How can he do this to me? Why would he do this to me? And, you know, you're going to go through a period of time where it's going to be, oh my God. And that's okay to go through that. Like I said, it happens. Relationships do go through these kind of things. So you've decided maybe to take him back and you want to forgive him. And, you know, right away I tell my client, are you going for couples counseling? Are you doing marriage retreats? What are you doing? And usually when you look back, hindsight is better, of course, than foresight. You look back and you think, oh my God, you know, he was, maybe the signs were there for a while and you weren't looking. Maybe you didn't want to know. Or you could have noticed and you got to look at something. It takes two to tango, and you know, maybe you weren't paying attention, or maybe you weren't communicating. Maybe, and whatever it is, everybody has a part in the lesson. We all take part of it, and we've got to take responsibility and own it. But once we do, you kind of it's rebuilding. Now, I had a client call me a couple weeks ago, and it was actually this guy cheated on her, and he got this woman pregnant, supposedly pregnant. That the jury's still out on that. And what happened is, she hadn't called me in about a year, and she was heartbroken. I remember the call. It was just like she was crying. It was like a long call. It was horrible. She called me and she said, we got it together. It actually made our relationship better. And I said, why is that? She said, because I looked at my part and he looked at his part, and it's still in a work in process. We've been through a lot of counseling. We've been through a lot of communication and having a lot of heartfelt talks. But basically, their relationship is better than it once was. Because what happened was the cheating was a symptom of something that was really deeply wrong in the relationship, which her, it was communication. They weren't communicating. They were kind of like living as roommates under the same roof. And so the communication, the heartfelt communication wasn't there. So they had to go to a counselor and learn how to communicate because we come out of our dysfunctional homes from childhood and we don't know what the heck to communicate. We think yelling is one normal, or we think distancing ourselves is normal. Whatever it is, she really learned that. And I think that, you know, her journey with that part is fine. But then there's the other part of maybe you want to leave the relationship, and that's up to you. Like I said, this is your personal decision. This is not anybody else's. And if you decide to leave the relationship, be gentle with yourself. Feel the emotions. Don't stuff things. Don't stuff it, because if you stuff it, you're screwed. You're basically screwed out of your mind, because you're going to go, it's going to come out in the inappropriate times. But if you can, okay, and get yourself, you know, journal, get out your emotion, get your anger out, because that's important. You're going to feel angry for a very long time. That's a betrayal. And somebody new is eventually going to come into your life, and you're going to learn to trust all over again. And it's going to be a process. And if you decide to do that, then that's okay, too. But either way, it's the right path for you. And you're going to have family and friends saying, why didn't you get rid of that jerk? He's an idiot. Why did you, you know, get rid of him? Get rid of him. Or get rid of her. Get rid of her. She's nothing but a cheating, you know. You have to go with what you're feeling, not what anybody else is feeling. Sometimes there's a lot of love there, despite what has happened, and you can take it from there, and it could be a better relationship, or it could make you stronger, and you have to move on. But either way, this is what it is. Well, we should be having Chris call us soon. He should be calling in. I don't know if he is or not, but we're just going to continue our discussion. And like I said, this is a difficult situation to go for. You know, it's something that you need to do. You know, and it's going to happen. Things happen in life, and, you know, we have to kind of see, you know, what they're from and where they're going. But I'll tell you what, life does become better. Cheating does not mean...
Your guest is now with you.
Okay. I think Chris is with us. Hello?
Hello there, Amy.
Hi, Chris. How you doing? I was worried about you.
Well, as you know, I'm recovering from a very nasty bout of the flu last weekend, but glad to be back in the swing of things now.
Yeah, I'm glad, too. So, Chris, you've been on the other side of... The reason why I have you on today is because you've been on the other side of the coin. You've been cheated on, right?
All too often, yes.
Okay. I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry.
In retrospect, it could be funny, I guess. Better to laugh than be depressed all the time.
Well, yeah, the way you said it, yeah, all too often, yeah. Chris, what has been your experience as the aggrieved party? How do you deal with someone? I mean, first of all, you had one significant relationship that she cheated on you. How did you find that out, and how did it affect you?
Well, believe it or not, despite being a veteran and being cheated on, it took me quite by surprise, because this particular woman I was actually thought could be the right one, and it happened quite fast. She simply told me that she got a phone call from someone who was a friend of hers, who she'd mentioned to me many times before, but she neglected to tell me they were more than friends back when they lived in the same state, and he recently moved back to her state. And she said, well, we were always more than friends, and after our phone call the other day, now it looks like we're going to be again. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And these things can happen very unexpectedly. I mean, I do agree with what you said earlier. Oftentimes, it's a gradual thing that you don't notice.
Right.
What I think happened this time is, despite how well we got along together, and believe me, we did, I was still her rebound guy.
Okay.
You know, and somebody could appear to love you, to be in love with you, but not actually be in love with you. They may simply love you in a friendship, affectionate way, but think it's more.
Mm-hmm.
That is, until the old flame gets on the phone with them suddenly out of the blue, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, it took you a long time to get over this. Right? You know, took you a very, very long time to get over this. And then you got involved with some young lady about maybe 2 years ago, and then it kind of happened. I don't want to put you on the spot, but it took you a long time to get over that.
It took me a long time to trust again, especially when it happens multiple times. And, you know, based on that, Amy, I mean, you know, I'm always going to call a spade a spade.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem with the cheating phenomenon, or should we call it an epidemic?
Yeah.
Part of the problem, it cannot be any doubt.
People cheat on their spouses or insignificant others. I call them insignificant others because you do feel insignificant after it happens.
Yes, and I can honestly say part of the problem is societal, in the sense that we impose monoamory on people, and we have all these, our society has all these desires to have a one-size-fits-all type of love and relationship for everybody. And let's face it, I'm convinced not everybody is naturally suited for monoamory. I'm sorry. But we treat people like they're deficient in some way if they aren't. So what happens? These people end up not being honest about it.
Right.
You know, and I'm not, now there are many people who are naturally monoamorous, and it's great.
Right.
You know, and there are
individuals. Right, like I said,
who are flexible.
This is
they
an agreement.
Could do
when you make it to begin with, an agreement where, you know, the person and you with the other party has decided to be monogamous, whether that be marriage or an exclusive relationship. If you have that agreement in place and they decide to go outside the relationship, that's another story, isn't it?
Yes, baby, but the important thing is honesty. We need to allow people not to be afraid to be honest about this. Like if a certain man or woman says, I got to be honest, I'm naturally polyamorous, even though I do have strong feelings for you, you know, we shouldn't be yelling at that person saying, oh, you have commitment issues, et cetera, et cetera. You know, just be thankful for their honesty.
Right.
I mean, if you decide, well, I'm going to tame this person and change him, I mean, expect to be, you might be disappointed.
Right. And exactly. You know, and that's what some people don't understand. It's like they, you know, there are some men who say, I don't want a relationship, but yet what do women do? They pursue it anyway.
Yes, and then they'll say that guy has commitment issues, et cetera, et cetera.
No, they call me up and say, when is he going to commit to me? I'm like, unless he'll be committing to the psych ward before he commits to you, honey, you know?
Yeah, and then the other problem is, too, a lot of times a woman like that will say, what's wrong with me? And often nothing is wrong with her. It is honestly him and not her in some cases. He's just not naturally suited for that type of relationship. Yet well, we instill this dream in every child, especially girl children, you know, you're going to grow up and get married to this one person, and it may happen, but it may not happen. And if you fall in love with someone who's not suited to the same type of relationship you are, somebody is going to get hurt, maybe both of you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know, another thing, too, there, Amy, you know, is that people need to realize this. I've been hurt a lot of times because of this. People have to realize just because they want a monoamorous relationship doesn't necessarily mean they're ready for one at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is especially true when it comes to younger women, but there's certain older women, too, that could be true with, you know, and they should be honest about this.
Right.
But they don't. They're uncomfortable being honest with it because our society will cast aspersions on them because of it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I told some younger women I've dated. I mean, is there any chance maybe we could do this polyamorous right now? You know, because I don't get the impression you're ready. You know, judging from all the parties you tell me you go to, and then I'm often told, oh, I see the typical words of a man whore who can't commit. And I'm like, no, I don't think that. No, that's not true. But I don't want to commit in that way and get hurt because it turns out you're not ready. Well, I know what I want, et cetera, and I always end up getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because what they wanted was not in concert with what, you know, they were ready for at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think our society needs to allow people to be honest about what type of relationship they are suitable for as individuals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
and
exactly.
Honesty
is the number one thing that sometimes relationships lack. You know, people think that if they're cheating on their spouse, that eventually, or boyfriend, that they're not going to be found out. Well, yeah, you're going to be found out because it depends on, you know, your dishonesty is going to come out somewhere.
Well, one thing I've learned, Amy, I imagine this is the truth with you know, women dating men too. But when men dating women, trust me on this. If a woman is cheating, her behavior changes. Trust me on this. It changes.
Oh yeah, it does. And I was using a man as as because of the usually it goes both ways. Believe me, I get calls both ways.
Yes, you know the signs. You know the signs when and where. You know, and you want to believe it's just paranoia, but no, it's very often your gut feeling. You know, they're telling you something's not right. Because see, she used to do this. Yeah. I mean, if someone, you're used to someone calling you 5 times a day, and then suddenly it's only 2 times a day, even though you know for a fact that week they were less busy than they were the previous weeks, come on. That's one indication you know something may be wrong.
Well, or like I said, they change their call patterns. They're not answering your calls right away, and then all of a sudden, it takes them 2 hours to get back to you when it used to just take maybe 15, 20 minutes or half an hour to get back to you.
Yes, or maybe like a minor crisis situation happens in their family. Like, let's say they had to take their mom to the emergency room, and mysteriously, they don't tell you when they used to always tell you things like that.
Right,
you know, suddenly you're not as important.
There's distance there, right. Aloofness.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even say so much they're hiding that from you. It's the point they just don't think you're that important anymore. You don't wait
right.
up there anymore.
Right,
they
start distancing yourself emotionally from you.
Yes. You know, that's a sign of distance, you know, happening. Or when you do talk to them, they don't sound as affectionate as they used to.
Now they're like, oh, it's you again.
You know, yeah.
You've ever had that, you're close to an end of a relationship and it's like, oh, you again kind of attitude. You're like, oh, I'm screwed.
Yeah, and you're like, well, we haven't talked in 2 days. Am I bothering you?
Yeah, gee, I haven't heard from you in about a week. Sorry to bother you.
Yeah, and then
sorry
you call them.
Live and breathe and want to know about you.
Yeah, and then they have the nerve. Some people have the nerve to lie and tell you, no, I've just been busy. Well, should I let you go? Yeah, click. Come on, you know something's wrong when that scenario takes place.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you this too, Amy. I'm not against long-distance relationships because they can work. Yes, they're fraught with difficulties. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I have noticed, you know, if you've been talking to that person at least 6 months and they don't want to come and visit you, something's wrong. You know I learned that the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 6 months is more than long enough to get to know someone over the phone that you can build trust and rapport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another thing, too, I know this is not a nice thing to say, but it's the honest truth. Don't be afraid to put ultimatums on to someone. Don't be afraid to tell someone after communicating with them for 6 months, if you don't want to see me in person, you know, I think we should just be friends for a while. You know, don't feel bad about that, because I think that's completely fair.
I think that is fair, too, because you are kind of putting your boundaries and you're setting your standards. And if they decide not to come forward in 6 months, then you know there's something up.
Yes, and, you know, you got to understand other type of people you could meet. I mean, like, again, I have no problem with meeting people online, but there are some people, and I'm not kidding about this, Amy, that, you know, are kind of, in real life, have never had a boyfriend at, like, age 28, but like fantasizing, and it's all pretend to them. And you've got to be careful about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even some people you meet in real life. I mean, trust me on this. If you're going dating with someone, and after 3 weeks they still don't want to kiss you, I mean, I'm telling you, they don't like you in that way. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't care about the political correctness factor. Well, you just won't give someone time to get over this or over it. No. I'm just being honest there.
Definitely. You know,
and that's why I'm saying,
like,
you know,
the more informed
well, our whole society has to be honest.
Honesty is the best policy, and a lot of people don't practice it.
Well, it's just another thing. I know I tend to be overbearing because I always had so much to say in such a short time, and I apologize to everyone for that. At least they don't have to go out to dinner with me. Tell them that. They could be happy about that at least. but one thing, you know, I did want to say too, though, is a very important thing to consider, and when it comes to honesty, you know, about relationships too, is I don't think the state and the church should be sanctifying relationships according to taxes and, you know, religious ideals of what's best for everybody, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's why I'm not fond of that kind of thing. I don't think people should be penalized, you know, if they want to be with more than one person, or penalized if they get divorced, or being threatened to be excommunicated if they have this or that kind of relationship. I think, you know, as spiritual a thing as love can be and really should be, no doubt, you know, I think diversity, I mean, any religion nowadays in 2012 and any state program that does not honor diversity is faulty and should be questioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we'll maybe do a show on gay marriage and spiritual marriages soon. So I think that would be
that sounds great
show. So because we got to close, and we're going to be taking callers in the next 5 minutes. So I'm sorry to cut you short, Chris. But we got our time.
Oh, you have to with that, Amy. But thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we will be right back. Thank you, Chris. And I will be taking calls starting in about 5 minutes. Talk to you then.
Bye-bye.
PBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth.
BBSRadio.com, your source to a world of inspiring information, removing fear through communication, engaging, powerful, unforgettable. My name is Spider Turner, and you can hear my music right here on the BBS. BBSRadio.com, the number one internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Spider Turner, and you can buy my music at CDBaby.com. Pick me up, check me out. Ah, yeah, BBSRadio.com.
Have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
We love PBS Radio.
welcome back to Angel Answers. It's yours truly, Amy Toy. And we had a great first, Chris gave us some food for insight there. He's been through a lot, the poor man. but he's good. He's very, very intelligent, and he's been firsthand the scenario of being cheated on. And like I said, sometimes people cheat for different reasons, and it's unfortunate. I will be taking calls, and the angels are ready. And the phone number for anyone inside the U.S. and the continental U.S. and Canada is 1-888-627-6008. And those outside the U.S., it's area code 530-413-4522. And if you would like to reach me for a private reading, you may see my website at angelanswers1111.com, or you can email me during the show or anytime at angelicamy35@gmail.com. So we will be taking calls, and any questions you have about your life and where you're at is great. But until we get calls, like I said, this topic of cheating, like I said, we're going to be focusing on relationships. And, you know, if you decide to forgive the person that has cheated on you, that's a personal decision for you to make. And when you forgive someone after they've cheated on you infidelity, it's sometimes good to just kind of step back here and, you know, give yourself time to grieve, because if you decide to leave the relationship, it's good to grieve the relationship that you had. Because, you know, when you find out someone has cheated on you, it's like a whole different ballgame. They've destroyed your perception of them, how you used to see them. It's almost like you don't know
Brett
where this person has come from.
Too, Brett.
Okay. I believe we have a caller. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
My name's Brett. I'm calling from Ohio.
Hi, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Nice sunny day here in Ohio. Beautiful weather for February.
Yes, and, I'm in the Western New York area, and yes, I totally agree. Brett, what is on your mind today? What can we do for you, or what can I do for you? I'm sorry, I'm used to.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a relationship question. I hope that's okay. But,
no, we can talk about anything you want to talk about, finances, job, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to keep my ear close to the ground on alternative news, and there's a lot of talk about a new financial system coming in this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be more fair to the people than what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be asset-based. In other words, it's supposed to be backed by gold, silver, and maybe some other precious metals. And I was wondering if you could give me any answers when that might be coming down. Now, some people are expecting it to happen any day now, and some are saying it probably won't be coming down until maybe as far back as July. And
I was picking up more later summer, so I would say end of July, August. And I feel like we are going to be changing our financial system. I'm going to do a show on prophecies, and we will talk about what what we see for the future. But I definitely feel that. So, Brett, I feel, you know, like I said, consult a financial advisor. But I can tell you that we are going to be changing some of the current system of economic system that we're doing.
Yeah. Also, there's a lot of people around the country that's invested in the Iraqi dinar, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of like a million or two people have invested in Iraqi dinar, and I feel that it's probably not going to happen until the new financial system comes in. I'm getting ahead of myself here. A lot of people are expecting a revalue of the Iraqi dinar and the Vietnam dong, and I feel that now we know that there's a scenario where 197 countries are going to be revaluing their currency based on this new financial system that's coming in, and that's basically part of the magic that's supposed to happen of 2012 that many have talked about. But I feel that none of this revalue is probably going to happen until the new financial system comes in. Do you agree with that? Or
I can only tell you what my guide is saying to my angels. And they're telling me
right
to tell you that, yes, we are still in a transformative year. 2011 was a very transformative year where we saw a lot of energy shifts and changes. So now it's going to go into the physical realm. So, yes, I do feel that, yeah. But I'm not feeling for another year.
Oh, really?
I got 1 year, yes. So you are going to see, like, the euro, you know, in Europe, you know, how they all went under the euro. You're going to start to see some kind of financial restructuring. I do agree with that, but I'm not seeing for another year with the countries you mentioned.
Okay. But you do see the new financial system coming in this summer.
I do. I see a lot of restructuring. I do feel my guide is saying that there's the best is yet to come, and we are going to see a lot of shifts towards the, I would say, between July and November of this year. That's going to be a little bit unnerving to certain people, and other people it's going to benefit, like it always does.
The other quick question I have is, are we going to see the star people reveal themselves to us this year, or?
I am not privy to that information. I don't go.
I see.
I'm not.
Uh-huh.
They do not show me that kind of stuff. Okay?
Yeah.
They only show me what's in our physical realm.
Right. I
understand. I'm not part of that. I'm only in the angelic realm. Okay, Brett?
I'll look forward to your show on prophecies then. Thank you for your time.
Okay, no problem, Brett. Have a great day. Hello?
Hi, yes. My name's Layla. I am calling because I have a question.
Hello?
I have a special friend in my life. Hello?
Hi, yes. Hi, this is Amy. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling because I have a special friend in my life, and I'm trying to kind of see, like, where it's going, if, like, anything, like, romantically will happen out of this, or...
Sure, honey. What's your name, first of all?
Layla.
Hi, Layla. And what's your boyfriend's name?
Justin.
Okay. See her. So you guys are just friends right now?
Yes.
Okay. Honey, I'm feeling this is going to be still a slow developing relationship. It's going to take until, well, actually, it's not too long. Keep listening to your guidance. I would say to you in the next 2 months.
The next 2 months?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So expect more movement in the month of March, middle of March. And then April is when I see a lot more romantic, you know, getting more into a dating relationship.
Okay.
Okay, honey?
And my other question is, I have a friend. She not hasn't been too good, like, health-wise, and I'm just trying to see if, you know, like, she's going to start to feel better or we'll get to the bottom of why she's not feeling too well.
Well, first of all, I, because of legal reasons, I have to tell you I'm not a medical doctor, but I can tell you that this person that you're speaking of, it's going to be a slow road to recovery, and I'm feeling like it's not going to be till at least May that I feel this person's starting to feel like herself again.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Del. Take care. Do you have another caller? Okay. So anyway, so we had some great callers, and like I said, we'll be taking calls for at least the next 10 minutes. So like I was saying, we are going to have some future shows on 2012 prophecies, and we will be talking about what my guide, I have a guide that's named Jeremiel, and he is a very strong guide, and he is going to come through with some global stuff, you know, global prophecies that, which will be interesting because I'm not ready for this either, but he's pushing me to do it. So very strong guide, very ascended master guide, which means that he's different realm than you and I are. So we'll take care of that. But anyway, like I said, back to on cheating. And so if you are somebody that is forgiving the person that has cheated on you, it's important that you deal with your emotions, deal with the grieving process. And a lot of times, like I said, cheating and infidelity, you know, they're the same thing, but infidelity is outside the marriage bond. And acknowledge what you need to do. Sometimes people go through the process. If you are having, it's very difficult, especially if you're a woman that has children with this guy who cheated on you and he has to pick up the kids and you're very angry. And there is a wonderful story from, like I said, the wonderful book that I got is Forgiveness, A Bold Choice for a Peaceful Heart by Robin Kasargian. Talks about this, how she used to, this woman had, you know, her husband cheated on her and left her for a woman at work, actually. And she had to deal with this, her ex-husband, and see him when he picked the kids up. And it was very difficult for her to get past that anger. And I think that's important because when you have a partner that has cheated on you, you're angry for a very long time, you know. Sometimes we just don't know how to deal with the anger. And so she had to really look beyond that. And in the end, she became grateful because this woman really took a man off her hands. That was a real pain in her rear end. And she started looking at things about him. She looked at the reasons why she fell in love with him, and she also looked at the great, she was grateful in the end. She got two kids out of it. She got rid of a guy that was really an idiot. I guess this guy was a drunk. So she got rid of him. And I'm not saying that I'm blaming alcoholics or drunks or anything, but sometimes that's the best thing it is, the gift of giving it away. You can take them. I know my mother used to say to my dad, you know what? If you don't like it, there's the door, and don't let it kick you in the on the way out. And sometimes we have to leave a relationship or get out of an abusive situation. Maybe they're doing us a favor. At the time, we don't realize it's a gift, but we have to move on from it. And in recognizing who we are as people, we become stronger people if we can walk through the fire and get to the other side of it. It's not something that happens overnight. People expect, I think, in our society, an instantaneous healing. They think that, oh, yeah, it's going to be, you know, 3 months from now, and I'll be over this person I was with 20-some years. No, it doesn't happen that way. It takes time. And people want instant gratification in our society. It's not going to happen. It takes a while for things to settle in. You know, and let us go and respect the process we're in. We're not in a race here to get to the other side of things. Life is about a journey. We're on the school of life, and this is one of the lessons we have to learn. And if we can do that, we're better people for it. And like I said to you in many shows before, we can teach through our experiences. And sometimes the one that can get it, the lesson, can help another person and help another person. Because if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know how to get through a solution, you don't know a solution to the problem, you ask around and you get to the person that helps you. Because there's usually someone that walked in a mile in your shoes. But if you're not willing to do that, then there's no reason for you to grow and learn. It's about the journey, not about the destination. And I think with cheating, that's a painful lesson. I remember when I was younger, my first boyfriend cheated on me. And I wasn't going to tell you this story, but what the heck. My first boyfriend cheated on me. We had gone, actually, for our first 4 months in the relationship. It was a traumatic relationship. I was from a dysfunctional household, and so was he. And as you look back, we were both adult children of alcoholics. So, you know, here we're both damaged people, you know, coming in together. So I had all the classic signs that were there. He didn't return my calls. I wasn't important. I wasn't, you know, I think he stood me up for a date, if I remember. I mean, this was when I was 16, 17 years old. So I remember finding out the girl, because his sister blew him in, and his little sister got mad at him because his mother and his dad liked me. So they blew him into me. I found out who it was. So the girl that didn't even know that he had a girlfriend. Of course, I was at his birthday party. You think she didn't know? You know, I was at the birthday party. So I went over to her house, and her mother goes, her mother was a counselor, and she said, we're going to call him over here, and we're going to straighten this out. So they parked my car in the garage, and he comes in, and there we are both sitting there at the table, you know, ready to confront him. And we did. We confronted him, and he was like, oh, my God. Well, we broke up for a while, and then I decided to take him back. God knows why I decided to take him back, but I did. But I remember him, the look on his face was so classic. It was like he was sitting there, and you thought that we just you know, removed something, removed a private part of him or something. I don't know what you want to call it. But that was so cathartic for me to do, confront him. Because I found out it wasn't about me. He just had dated, and he wanted to go out there and see what was going on. But when, you know, you look back at it, it is kind of stupid. But I did confront the jackass, you know, and he... To this day, I'm sure he has nightmares about it. I don't. I never. I haven't thought about it, but that was a huge betrayal of trust. And then when you're 17, you're dramatic. So you, I went out and cheated on him, but he found out about it because I made sure he found out about it. And, you know, the games we play. And if you're going to forgive somebody, forgive them. Don't just go out there and, you know, expect vengeance. You know, I want to get back at him later. Forgiveness is forgive and move on from it. And eventually, if you're out there cheating on your boyfriend or significant other or spouse, I'm going to tell you right now, it will be found out. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not a year from now, but you will be found out. And usually that causes a lot more damage than you want to know about. And you really must ask yourself, cheaters out there, do you love the person or you do not love the person? Because that is not the thing to do in a monogamous relationship, like Chris called it polyamorous, or, you know, not monogamy, but you date other people. That's not, you know, being honest with a person is not good. You know how much damage you're doing by cheating on them and hurting them? That's not right. So if you have any conscience, stop the behavior and go to the person and talk about your problems. It's better clean out your closet now than later, because they will be found out. And when it is found out, you're going to have more damage, and you may not be able to repair the relationship. Look at your motivations, why you're cheating, and why you're doing it. And can you live with yourself? Because a lot of people that I know that cheated on their spouses cannot live with themselves after a while. And they go to drugs, alcohol, you know, any addiction, they can come out of it. It's not good. So if anybody knows about cheating and what it's done, I mean, you had both sides of it. You really had both sides of it today. And the angels want you to know that no matter what we've done on the earth plane, God loves us no matter what. And it doesn't matter what we do. But honesty with ourselves and with the other person, that's what makes a relationship. It's not about anything else. It's about honesty. It's the best policy. Being honest with who you are. Who are you as a person? Because you got to live with yourself. You got to look at yourself in the mirror. Not anybody else. There's been times when, you know, all of us have been there where we don't want to look at ourselves again because of the things we've done. And that's where you lead to self-loathing, and then it leads to, like I said, it could lead to addictive behaviors. It could lead to suicidal behaviors. And that's not good. You want to live with yourself. And sometimes not all cheating's bad. If you have an open relationship, that's great. That's your prerogative. You know, as long as you have an agreement and you're honest with the person whom with you're having a relationship with. If they're under the impression that you're not doing, you know, Bob down the street, okay, great. But you need to know who you are as a person, and you can't be screwing every Tom, Dick and Harry, okay, or Bob. So with that, I'd like to close the show, and I wish everyone have a great week. May angels' blessings be with you. Next week's show, we will have more about either relationships or I have a topic for the show, but it's something that I'm kind of in the works with. So I wish everyone well, and if you wish to reach me for a private reading, look at my site, angelanswers11.com. Or you may email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com. May the angels be with you. Bye-bye.